Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Florida Hardaway. I am one of your hosts, Cool Claws. Cool Claws, joined here with...
And it's your girl, your chosen, bringing that kind of swag to Florida Hardaway. Y'all know the name, y'all know the rules.
All right, all right. We're missing Justin Christopher Williams here today with us. JCW is out, but we wish you luck, man. Also, Rico. Rico is not with us today, but they are all both still part of the Florida Hardaway. But... before we get into our topic today and before we get into what we got to say, I want to let you guys know that I have a new YouTube channel show coming up with my amazing, amazing person who have given me the opportunity to do a show with him, and he is here with us today. So what is it? What is it?
Hey, y'all doing, everybody? It's your boy, Spencer Fleming, a.k.a. Southern Pete. We want to just give y'all a moment to just talk about Sit Down with Cool Claws and Southern Pete coming to a YouTube channel near you. Baseline Forward, where we'll just be talking about different things going on in the world today, just to sit down with me and Cool Claws to get our perspective on trending events, music selections, and even, hey, just a bit of talking just between us. You want to get into the minds of the country boys themselves, you might want to tune in to Sit Down with Cool Claws and Southern Pete.
You heard it. You heard it. Cool. Tune in. Tune in with Southern Pete and Cool Claws. Tune in with us. Please make sure that when the YouTube channel comes out that you guys subscribe. I will be informing you of more information on this show. But thank you so much, Southern Pete, for joining us here today, man. So now getting into our topic today, first, I'll just say what happened on Sunday. I'm guessing many of you all heard that I guess many of you all heard the tragedy that took place on Sunday during the day with a NBA star that is one so amazing person, as we should say. But we're going to sort of talk about not only that person today, but also just the overall side part of it. And Chelsea, I'm going to let you dive into that more about it.
So before we get started into talking about this today, we're just going to do a brief moment of silence for not only for Kobe Bryant and his daughter, but for also the other people who were in the helicopter crash. So we're going to do that moment of silence. So yes, once again, it's a hard topic, I think, for us to talk about today, but, I do actually believe that this is something that showed us that you have to cherish your family members because one day they may not be here. So once before we also get into this, we want to give a humongous prayer out to his wife and his other children, and even to his family. But we're going to just give a little information about this incident. And
not only just to, like, Kobe family, but also to any other family members who had a significant loved one that was involved within the crash, which is why our topic for today is the helicopter crash, because we're going to be speaking on that topic throughout our show today, because I think it's something to highlight that is important, that took place, that I know is very dear and touching to a lot of people. So we want to address that situation with you all today.
So I'm just going to name the eight people. It was Kobe Bryant, Gina, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, John Altobelli, Terry Altobelli, their daughter, Christina Malzer, Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, and Era Zobain, who was, I'm supposing, the pilot. For those of you who probably know, if you've been here for a minute, you know that I am from Los Angeles, and this does hit a really soft spot, because... You know, when you think of L.A. or you think of Los Angeles or California, a lot of the things that you think about are things of Kobe, For instance, Nipsey Hussle. Those are the things that you think about when you think of Los Angeles. So those people, among a lot of other people, are big forces that LA look up to. And they're like, these people came from LA and made it to a place where they can give back to their community. So I definitely do want to shout out all my LA people. I love you all so much. And, you know, this is a time for us to grieve. So, you know.
Yeah, and looking into the article, it shows that, like, there was, like, a Orange Coast College basketball coach that was involved with not only him, but his wife.
John Altabobi and his family. I'm sorry.
Yes, as well as his daughter, who were also involved within the kill. And it looks like there was a lot of coaches and a lot of people that supported throughout the moment of what took place. It shows that it was about 9:44 a.m. when the crash had, like, happened exactly, but it wasn't reported until later on that time period of morning. I think that, like, the story of what the police officers and firefighter gave yesterday from California, the story of just letting the people know what took place and how they are handling the situation as speedily as possible, was, like, very not only respectful to the family, but just respectful to, like, the fans and actually taking the process as knowing and identifying what actually happened and what caused the crash and things like that.
So just a little update. Earlier today, a little bit more information about the route that they were on in the helicopter. Says the pilot of the helicopter carrying Kobe and his daughter and the six other passengers got in a big trouble with fog. They seemed to abort the trip and tried to return home, barely clearing one mountain range, but never slowed down. This, according to the flight tracker and several experienced helicopter pilots in the LA area. As we reported, the pilot had to circle near the downtown LA area near the LA Zoo for 15 minutes because of bad weather ahead. As we reported, the Los Angeles Police Department had grounded its helicopter fleet because of the fog at around the same time as Kobe's helicopter took off. The pilot was following a visual flight plan and was cleared by the tower to proceed north toward Thousand Oaks, where Kobe was taking his daughter for a basketball game. So for those of you all who do not know, his daughter's friend was on the helicopter as well, and they were on their way to a Mamba basketball game at the moment. That's where they were headed during the time of the crash. When he got to the Calabasas area, the fog became blinding. As we reported, the pilot was too low at 1,250 feet. The pilots that were spoken to say that it's clear based on abrupt changes on the flight tracker. The pilot panicked and quickly ascended 2,000 feet. They were told he cleared a mountain range by 100 feet, and the pilots that were spoken to said that he was so low, certainly saw the tops of mountains. Then they continued, and it said, the pilots that we spoke with, all of whom have extensive experience, say based on the flight tracker and the accident scene, they believe the pilot felt he had cleared all of the mountains and was proceeding to head back when he hit another mountain.
See, it was...
Okay, I'm sorry for the brief pause, but we have cleared that up. So just to continue, the pilot, I'm going to start back from the mid of the second part. They said the pilots say that they believe the pilot felt he had cleared all of the mountains and was proceeding to head back when he hit another mountain. The pilot clearly did not know where the mountains were ahead because he actually descended from 2,000 feet to 1,700 feet, presumably to go under the fog. Even more baffling, they were told that the pilot was extremely experienced flying in the area and was even a flight instructor. One seasoned helicopter pilot told another news source that shall remain unnamed, he could not understand why Kobe's pilot would have maintained a speed of 160 knots in such dense fog. One of the benefits of a helicopter is you can go much slower, even 15 miles an hour, to gingerly avoid terrain if you're uncertain. Many of their sources say that the chopper was sophisticated and had an altitude warning signal to pull up, but it was too late, as we said. He was going 161 knots and didn't slow down. The helicopter hit the mountain at that speed. Several of the pilots we spoke to said that the pilot should have gone up to clear the fog rather than down to that end. We're told that the pilot could have slowed down to almost stop as he turned, but he did not, which ended up in the death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the six other people on the helicopter.
And it looks as... So the crash took place around about 9:44 that morning, and firefighters responded to a 911 call around about 9:47 on Sunday, found a debris field and steeps tearing with a quarter acre brush fire. So it was more so like there was already fire, like the helicopter just set aflame.
The video that I had saw from the news report, when the helicopter hit the floor, hit the ground, it immediately caught on fire. And that's when people started running over to the mountain to see who was in the helicopter. And that's when, you know, a few hours later, I had figured who was actually in the helicopter. Just to turn this for our listeners who are a little younger and even older, in an obvious sense, it happened. And at this point, there is nothing we can do about it at this point. We have no control over what happens beyond this point. But we do have control over where and how we act towards people that are family, friends, and otherwise. In their sense, I bet, you know, his wife and his daughters were excited for him to come back home. And, you know, it would be really it would be bad if his family and him were on bad terms and this happened. Or, you know, for any instance. You know, we need to sometimes take lessons that end in tragedy and turn them into life lessons so that we can learn from. Because, you know, you never are going to know when someone may no longer be here on Earth with us. So that is something I think, as, you know, United States citizens and even beyond United States, we should take accountability for and make sure that we do not hold grudges, because you can't 100% say this person's going to be here tomorrow, because they can be as healthy as they and not be here tomorrow, you know. So just to not to put anybody in a fear sense, like, oh my God, this person's going to, you know, pass away tomorrow, but to put you guys in a sense of, is whatever I'm mad about really worth being mad about this long? You know, and that's something you have to take into accountability for yourself, and those are decisions you all have to make. But, you know, once again, For the Hallway does definitely send their condolences to not only to Kobe Bryant and his family, but also the other lives who were lost at this tragic event. It's very sad, but it's something that I think can also teach all of us human beings a lesson as people of the society that we live in. But we are going to end that there. And once again, we're going to give a moment of silence for the people whose lives were lost Sunday, January 26, 2020. And we definitely want to thank you guys. So,
moving into like the next section, we are going to look at fans' reaction to the helicopter crash, which we know is devastating and very sad to hear about, especially hearing. Where he was headed to, far as being on a helicopter. So a lot of people really just, this comment is from the president, Barack Obama, where he says, Kobe was a legend on the court and just getting started in what we would have been just as meaningful a second act To lose Gina is ever more heartbreaking to us as a parent. Michelle and I send loves and prayers to Vanessa and entire Bryant family on an unthinkable day. So as you can see, just listening to that comment and hearing a lot of people saying that they are very shocked to hear the terrible news about the tragedy that took place on yesterday, shows that a lot of people really did care for Kobe and had like a deep connection with him. So to hear something like that, being at the age of 41, was like very hard for like not his family, but Los Angeles Lakers fans and as well as players, because Kobe was deemed a Hall of Famer for the NBA. So it is sad to hear something like this. And overall, I think just the ideal of highlighting not only what took place like with Kobe and his daughter, but also just the ideal that other people were involved within this crash. So I just want you all to remember, don't just highlight parts of the crash, highlight it overall, just knowing that not only is the Bryant family hurting from this, but there are other families who are suffering from this, because this is a shocking tragedy that no one can really say they saw coming. Chelsea, you got anything to add on fan comments?
Just that I think one of the most things right now is to just give the family a lot of space. Just to respect their privacy at this moment. You know, not only did the wives and daughters lose a father, but also a daughter and a sister. So, you know, just give them their time. Just to grieve, let them, because, you know, celebrities, I think a lot of times people misconstrue what celebrities are and who celebrities are. And I think they forget that they're humans before they're celebrities. You know, before Kobe Bryant was Kobe Bryant, he was dad, he was husband, he was a husband. So you guys have to also remember that not only are these people celebrities and people that we love and adore ourselves, but these are also human beings who have families who have to grieve with this a different way than we can. A lot of us can grieve, but it's a different type of grief because this is their family, you know. And not even just for him, but also for the other young ladies. That is somebody's daughter that was lost, you know. So for both Mr. Bryant and her friend. So, you know, you guys just let them have time to grieve. This is like, I can speak for one of this probably, once you lose somebody that close to you, it's really, really hard. And, you know, you don't need 1,000 people, you know, just coming at you at one time. It becomes overwhelming. And I think you can attest to this, Klaus.
Yeah. With like, what are you talking about?
Grieving.
For us, yes. I can honestly say being in the process of grieving over something or like dealing with something, you want to make sure that you give as much space as possible, because you don't want to be that person that add on like emotions or make things more overwhelming than it already is. So being concerned is perfectly fine, and wanting to be there to be supportive and just be encouraging to the family is very important, and should not be denied or just like not improved. But I think with the start of just seeing where we at far as this happening on Sunday, I think that the space would be necessary for the family now, and those who were also like had close family members involved in the crash. So any families would be extremely necessary. And your love and support on social media sites for this incident and tragedy is very much so needed, because you never know which family member who was experiencing like any like sadness because of the tragedy may just be just excited and proud to hear your thoughts on just going on and on about how, yes, this is important and this is something I want to address and I want to highlight this person and tell them, hey, remember him, remember him and her, remember them for who they were, and just your support means so much. But grief is a process that does take time, especially with losing not only just like an NBA legend, but also just so many, like the children that were involved in this. Like, I think the age range was like
13.
His daughter was 13, and the other one was
probably
like
about 14, 13. 14.
Yeah,
because they were friends. They were, his daughter and the young lady were friends.
Yeah, so being friends and losing children like that really caused trauma to its like family. So prayers and thoughts are most necessarily needed. Our next section for the topic is the reaction of us. My reaction is basically still in shock mode, because to hear someone 41 years old and like the name overall, just to think about it, you wouldn't expect to see, or you wouldn't expect yourself to ever hear it, just being like Kobe Bryant. So like a basketball legend, you wouldn't expect to see this or hear it as soon as I did. So it is like, it's a shocking for me, but I also, not just for Kobe, but just the amount of passenger and the fact that there were no survivors from the crash. So like the stories can only be made from what we can assume or what we can study on the crash. So there's no actual
proof
from a physical person being alive saying it. And I'm also like, just like still wondering how fans and just like people overall can celebrate this and just give back their thoughts and prayers about the situation. It seems as though they had like a ceremony for him
at the Sports Center. They some LA people got a flower arrangement made and.
But that, you know, overall is just shocking and sad. And I do wish the best for the family. Prayers do go out to not only the families, but those who were involved in the crash.
Not onto a positive aspect, just to give a lot of light to his life, who he was. It is said that Kobe Bryant scored 33,643 points in his entire NBA career. That tells you something, you know. It tells you that I recently had watched an interview, and the interview, he was talking about why he got into getting a helicopter and why he thought that's one of the main reasons why he wanted to get a helicopter. For those of y'all who don't know, L.A. has really, really bad traffic because there's so many people in L.A. There's so many people in L.A. that traffic becomes so packed that it's hard for me to get to place to place that should take 15 minutes that ends up taking 20, 25 minutes. So an interview I watched, she said that he would be coming home from practices and he would be having to go to his daughter's school, but he couldn't make it in time due to how bad the traffic was. And he said he's missing school plates and he's missing important moments in his daughter's life that he wants to be there for. He doesn't want to just become this basketball star and forget that he has children. This is something he wants to be there for. So he says that he bought a helicopter because in a helicopter it could take you 15 to 20 minutes to get from place to place and back. So that is why he got into helicoptering. And that's why he thought that getting a helicopter would be easy, because he can work and stay focused and work on his talent and also make it to be there for him and him and not only him, but his wife, his newborn, and his two older daughters' growth and their talents. So, you know, before everyone starts to go, well, why did he get a helicopter in the first place, or start questioning the reasons behind what he did it because not only, like I said before, not only before he was Kobe, he was a father. You know, so those things do come into play once you look at the story full-fledged.
Yes. And again, prayers and stuff and comments and all the support should go out still for the family, for not only Kobe Bryant, but also as well as the other passengers that were on the in the helicopter. This is the closing of our show. But I do want to remind you all that this is a moment that we should remember and highlight, just to remember Kobe and remember those passengers that were on board. Please do not forget to listen tomorrow to the YouTube channel again. Southern Pete was here with us a few minutes ago. So please do not forget to stay tuned in tomorrow for the YouTube channel of the Sit Down with Cool Claws and Southern Pete, which is coming again tomorrow, and more information will be provided. A shout out again to JCW and Rico for their absence right now. We are about to close the show. Again, this is the Porter Hardaway. I am Cool Claws.
And it's your girl, Chose, bringing that Cali swag to Porter Hardaway.
All right, and that is the closing of our show.
Thank you, guys.